Hey, Rip City, this is Matisse Thibel, and it's time to open the briefcase with Casey Holdall.
Greetings, Blister fans, and welcome to The Briefcase, episode 92 of The Briefcase. I'm your host, Casey Holdall, and the NBA playoffs kicked off this weekend in places, unfortunately, other than Portland. And while a lot of the games weren't especially close, I felt like a lot of the games were actually pretty good. We'll touch quickly on the start of the NBA playoffs, do our first of many future check-ins on various mock drafts as the Portland Trailblazers have four picks in the upcoming 2024 NBA draft, and hear from Anfernee Simons and DeAndre Ayton at exit interviews on this edition of The Briefcase. Well, after a pretty good play-in tournament, the NBA playoffs once again kicked off on Saturday. So let's go ahead and break down the first weekend of the NBA postseason. Started off with the Cavaliers defeating the Magic 97-83 in the 4-5 matchup in the East. Game 2 is scheduled for Monday, 4 p.m. on NBA TV. I'm also going to give my predictions here. Granted, giving predictions after our first game, it's kind of bush league, but I wasn't able to get to it before, so I'm going to get to it now. So in terms of the Cavs-Orlando matchup, the 4-5 matchup in the East, I'm going to take Cavs in 5 in that one. I think the Magic, too young, don't have the experience of a playoff team just yet. I think the Cavs are better. I think the Cavs as a 4 seed are actually probably a little undervalued. Probably should have been a little higher than that. Orlando, none, especially difficult place to play. So I'm taking the Cavs to win that one in a gentleman's sweep. Moving on, the Knicks knocked off the 76ers 111-104 in the 2-7 matchup in the West. Our good buddy Josh Hart, who's been on an absolute tear lately, 22 points and 13 rebounds in game 1 to help the Knicks cement that one away. Joel Embiid goes out halfway through the game, comes back, doesn't look like himself. I just don't think that the Sixers have the manpower at this point to go up against a team like the Knicks. So I'm taking the Knicks in 5 in that one. Game 2 is scheduled for Monday, 4:30 on TNT. Now getting to what really matters in the playoffs, the Western Conference. The Timberwolves rallied to blow out the Suns 120-95 in the 3-6 matchup out here in the West. Game 2 is scheduled for 4:30 on TNT. I think the Timberwolves end up taking that one in 6 games. I'm still a little skeptical of Minnesota, but Anthony Edwards looked great in that game. They have quite a bit of talent up and down the roster, and I think the Suns are just a bit too shallow. And it really just never came together the way I think they were hoping it was going to come together. I think when you look at the roster construction, that makes a bit of sense. But they tried to go that direction, hasn't seemed to work. I think the Timberwolves are going to win that 1-6. In the 2-7 matchup in the West, the Nuggets fended off an early scare from the Lakers to take Game 1, 114-103. Game 2 is scheduled for 7 p.m. on TNT. LeBron James looked fantastic in that game. Anthony Davis also looked very good. Nuggets has got too much. I think it's going to be Nuggets in 6. I don't think it's going to be a sweep like it was in the playoffs last year. And to be perfectly frank, I feel like 6 is probably a little too optimistic for the Lakers. But I thought they did look pretty good in Game 1, or at least LeBron looked pretty good in Game 1. He's probably going to be good enough to will them to at least one victory. And I imagine they'll pick up another one somewhere along the way. Denver in 6. And then on Sunday, in Day 2 of the NBA playoffs, the Celtics absolutely thumped the detestable Heat 114-94 in the 1-8 matchup in the East. Game 2 is not until Wednesday at 4 p.m. on TNT. I got the Celtics in a sweep in that one, particularly if Jimmy Butler is going to be out. I think even taking one game with Jimmy Butler out is going to be pretty difficult. If he doesn't come back, I don't see it. Sweep for the Celtics. And then in the probably most watched playoff game in Portland, Damian Lillard put up 35 points in the first half and then went scoreless in the second half as the Bucks without Giannis easily defeated the Pacers 109-94 in the 3-6 matchup out in the East. I know the Bucks haven't looked all that great and missing Giannis is obviously going to be a huge issue for them, but that Pacer team is wildly inexperienced in the postseason. Dame is still Dame. On many occasions, he has taken teams with not nearly as much talent to playoff victories. Nothing he hasn't seen before. This is exactly, as he mentioned, why they brought him there. I think the Pacers were the chic pick to be the upset in that series. It ain't going to happen, folks. Bucks in 6 in that one. And speaking of narratives, the Clippers, who many people picked to lose their series versus the Mavs, went out and absolutely thumped Dallas 109-97 in the West 4-5 matchup. I believe the Clippers were up by 30 at one point in time. Game 2 is scheduled for Tuesday at 7 p.m. on TNT. I think that's going to be the most competitive of all the first round series, but I'm going to go ahead and take the Clippers in 7 in that one. And in the best game of the first weekend of the playoffs, the Thunder outlasted the Pelicans 94-92 in the West 1-8 matchup. CJ McCollum had a very good look at what would have been a game-winning three-pointer, but it missed the mark as time expired. That was the third game in the last week for the Pelicans, while the Thunder have been sitting at home for the last week, and I feel like it really showed in that game. I think if New Orleans gets that game, perhaps they win the series, but with that loss, I think the best chance they had to take a game in that series, I think they maybe get one more chance, but I don't see them beating the Thunder, even as inexperienced inexperienced as they are in the playoffs as well. So I'm picking OKC in that one in five games. Game two is scheduled for Wednesday, 6:30 on TNT. While half the league is concerned with the postseason, the other half has already turned their sights to the NBA draft. The Portland Trailblazers, obviously one of those teams. So let's go ahead and check in on one of the mock drafts, as we're going to do throughout the offseason in the run-up to the 2024 NBA draft. Starting off, ESPN John Givony: if the 2024 NBA draft was held today and if the NBA draft lottery didn't exist, the Blazers would have the third or fourth, but let's just go ahead and be optimistic and say third, 14th, 33rd, and 40th picks. So once again, for the sake of the exercise, the Blazers have the third, 14th, 33rd, and 40th picks. According to John Givony at ESPN, with the third overall pick, Trailblazers take UConn center, 20-year-old center Donovan Clingan. Givony writes, "Trailblazers appear too early in the rebuilding process to be overly concerned with positional fit and might not be married long-term to center DeAndre Ayton, who has two more years left on his contract. Portland could be attracted to the size, length, defensive prowess, and passing ability of Clingan, who is coming off back-to-back national championships and has plenty of room for growth alongside the Blazers' core at just 20 years old." And with the 14th pick the Trailblazers got from the Golden State Warriors via the Milwaukee Bucks, Givony has the Trailblazers selecting 18-year-old Tijan Saloon. He writes that Saloon would be another intriguing addition to Portland's front court, helping to balance out a guard-heavy rotation. I don't know, the Portland's guard rotation is all that heavy anymore, but okay. He could be an interesting fit with this young Blazers core thanks to his potential to space the floor, supply energy, and versatility as an off-the-ball player with the future in mind. Saloon is still raw in important areas of his game, but should be an appealing project if he can make strides as a shooter and a decision maker. And then in the second round, with the 33rd pick, Givony has Trailblazers taking Terrence Shannon Jr., a 23-year-old wing from Illinois. And then with the 40th pick, Givony has Trailblazers basically importing UConn's front court, with the Trailblazers selecting Alex Caravan, a 21-year-old power forward from, as you could guess, UConn. Finally, moving on from players who might end up being Trailblazers to players who absolutely were Trailblazers, let's go ahead and hear from Anthony Simons at Exit Interviews. Ant talks about his thoughts on the season, playing alongside Scoot Henderson, and thoughts on his development, moving into more of a leadership role, wanting to be in a win-now situation, sharing a backcourt with Scoot and Shaedon Sharpe, playing with DeAndre Ayton, and the chemistry between a point guard and a center, his relationship with Chauncey Billups, and his progression as a point guard. Thought Ant had a lot of interesting things to say. Definitely an interesting perspective for a young player who's also been in the league for a while now. Let's go ahead and hear what Ant had to say at Exit Interviews. And so just your general thoughts on the season. Obviously, you had the injury that kept you out for a minute, played. Now you shelved here for the last half a month or so. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of view this season for you?
I think it's for everybody, a lot of learning experiences. Just, you know, navigating that, obviously, getting injured at the beginning of the season, you didn't plan on that happening. But at the same time, it's just, like I said before, when I was injured, I took a time, you know, to sit back and just watch the team and see what we needed and, you know, just watch the players, watch them grow, you know, watch them experience their first NBA games because it was the beginning of the season, and just try to figure out what I can, you know, where I can fit in and help these guys, you know, become better players. And, you know, I think for the most part, everybody on the team got better, you know, this season. You know, whether it was the young guys just figuring out their way in the NBA, figuring out their role on the team, and, you know, for me, just figuring out how to be consistently there for them each and every game. And I think for the most part, I learned, you know, from each and every game and how teams, you know, guarded me and, you know, trying to navigate that each and every game. And, you know, I think this season was the most, you know, the most I've ever, like, really, really studied the game, you know. So I think that's, you know, that's going to change, you know, elevate my game even more. The more I study and the more I realize my impact on, you know, on the game.
And what did you think of Scoot's progression from where he was at the beginning of the year to where he is now?
I mean, I said this before as well. Scoot's always been, you could tell he's a hard worker. He, you know, he understands, you know, where he's at. You know what I mean? So I think it was going to be pretty easy for him to get acclimated and, you know, kind of get comfortable. You know, he's 19, 20 years old. So, you know, you just got to give him some time to understand. And I think over the past month of the season, you know what I mean, you see those real flashes of who he can become. You just look forward to him, you know, having a summer here and, you know, just being ready for next year to really show, you know, his progression as a player and as a point guard.
Was it frustrating that the combination of you, Shaedon, and Scoot didn't get a lot of time together and whatever combination because you missed so many games? Scoot missed some, and then, of course, Shaden missed a ton. Was that pretty frustrating?
For sure. You know, obviously, you want to have everybody, you know, playing at the same time and give yourselves the best opportunity to win and kind of, you know, build chemistry. And it felt like, you know, throughout the whole season, you know, I mean, it was so many different lineups we were trying to throw out there because, you know, I mean, one guy would come back and one guy would be out, you know, the next game. And so we really couldn't build that much chemistry, you know what I mean, on the court. But I think for the most part, everybody had their little bit of time with them, but it wasn't enough for us to really figure out what works and what's the best, you know, lineups to play for an entire season.
And this is the year for you, too, where you kind of took a step in terms of, like, being the man on the team and a leadership role with Dame gone. How do you feel like that went for you this season? And do you feel at all like maybe the injury might have hurt that a little bit? Because I know a lot of times players talk about, like, if you're not out there playing, like, it's kind of hard to...
Yeah, if you're not out there playing, it's kind of hard, especially at the beginning of the season. Like, you want to start off on a good note with the team and, you know, playing pretty well and stuff like that. So that kind of took a kind of a step back. But, you know, obviously when I wasn't playing, I still try to find moments to, you know, put my two cents in or, you know, give some advice to a young player if they needed some. Maybe tell the coaches of what I see and maybe it could help us. But, you know, I think for me this year, it was, like I said, just a learning experience. You know, it's my kind of my first, you know, opportunity to step into that type of role. And, you know, obviously it's ups and downs. You know, it's kind of give or take, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know what I mean? Based off, say, how teams are guarding me, you know, maybe you want to be ultra aggressive and still trying to beat the coverage, but, you know, trying to a lot of sacrifice and giving myself up and, you know, trying to make, you know, the quote unquote right play each and every time. And that might, you know, that might take away from how you've seen as, you know, being successful in that game. So I think that's one of the steps that I took, you know what I mean? Just showing the guys that I'm willing to sacrifice my self-game for the team. And so I think that's one of the things I wanted to show them early when I came back and started playing is that, you know, whether I quote-unquote have a good night or not, I'm going to always try to make the right play for the team for us to get better and, you know, learn how to, you know, actually win games.
You've talked before about being ready to win now after, you know, kind of going into your prime, I guess. How close do you think that you guys can be? How far away is that here, given the way the last 3 years have ended? How far away is that for this team here?
I think, I mean, it all depends on how we approach the offseason. Each player knows what they need to get better at. That's the things we kind of discuss. Obviously, it's, you know, the past week or, you know, during these exit interviews. And so I think everybody has an understanding of what they need to get better at in order for the team to get better. So I think if everybody takes that seriously and come in motivated to be like, I mean, we don't want to have another season like this because, you know, for me, my 6 years done now and going to year 7, like, I want to, you know, have the opportunity to win. You know, I want to, you know what I mean? Obviously, it's not fun at all. You know what I mean? So I want to have opportunity to, you know, really show myself in the playoffs. And winning is, you know, one of those things that obviously everybody wants to do. But, you know, for me now, that's like top priority.
Can you scoot? Or how long can you, Scoot, and Shaden coexist before a change or something has to be done to solidify the backcourt?
I mean, ultimately, it's not up to me, but I'm going to come in each and every time, whether the lineup is all three of us, two of us, one of us, it doesn't matter. I think I'm going to come in with an attitude of we're going to figure it out. So whatever lineup is happening, we're going to figure it out to the best of our abilities and, you know, try to make it happen from there.
You mentioned 7 years. You've been a part of this franchise when it was winning at the highest of highs, and you've also been a part of it now where it's, you know, been a little bit different. Just what has it been like for you kind of navigating this different experience in the NBA with all of the losses?
Like you said, it's kind of new to me a little bit. You know, I come in as a young player into a, you know, winning team, and so you see a different perspective on how things are done on a daily basis as a team and what do each and every player do to become successful for the team. And so you kind of try to implement that into what we're trying to do now. You know what I mean? So it's a long process for sure, but that's just something that you have to go through, you know, especially when you have like kind of a roster turnaround and you're trying to build a culture with a lot of people in new positions. So it definitely won't be easy, but I think it's something that can be done for sure.
Speaking of new positions, it's kind of been a different position for you this year leading this team. What have you learned about yourself in terms of leadership this year?
You know, kind of stretching myself and seeing what the things that I can do that I didn't think I could do. You know what I mean? Just using my voice a little more. I've always been a quiet guy, but, you know, I find myself trying to intentionally get out of my shell a little bit for the betterment of the team. And so that was fun, you know, doing some quote unquote uncomfortable things sometimes. So I mean, that's the best way I'm able to grow, you know, as a player and how the team's going to grow if I put myself out there like that.
We asked a lot during the year about, you know, connecting with DA, you know, obviously the injuries, throwing that off. I mean, you know, how do you think DA kind of came in here and impacted this roster and kind of changed things for you guys?
Yeah, DA, I mean, obviously, you know, people say he had a rough start, but it was kind of just figuring it out. And obviously, like I said, we got a lot of moving pieces and a lot of guys injured coming in and out of rotation. So I think once everything kind of settled down and, you know, me and him started playing a little bit more together consistently, just figuring out perfect timing on pick and rolls and stuff like that. And you can really see him getting his confidence up and his rhythm. And so I think, you know, credit to the coach staff for putting us in a position like that and me and him communicating on how we want to play together as a tandem. And so, like I said, it's been good. You know what I mean? Like, it always works out perfectly when I'm getting blitzed and I hit the pocket and it so happens DA's favorite spot is right there. So that kind of worked out perfectly and it was a good way for us to figure that out.
How would you assess Chauncey's performance, especially given the injuries and playing a lot of young players, and you've been with him now 3 seasons?
It's been great. Like, I mean, I credit Chauncey for helping me, like, kind of change the trajectory of my career. All the players respect Chauncey, you know what I mean, for all the things he's done as a player and all the things he has to, you know, deal with as a coach, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, once you have, like, that many roster turnarounds or that many trades happening, a trade deadline, and you're trying to implement a culture here and a lot of things are changing, you know, roster-wise, that's hard to do as a coach. It's hard as a player, you know what I mean? Trying to build, you know, real relationships with these players and try to build something. And, you know what I mean, one day they're here and one day they're gone, and some guys sometimes they're injured and you really can't be out there on the court with them. So, you know, I just credit him for being able to pivot so well and still keep everybody together and positive. I think that's one of the biggest things that, you know, I'm most proud of this year, is that no matter how, you know, bad things were, most of the time the players were pretty positive. And, you know, each and every game, it wasn't no, like, there was no quitting us anytime, whether, you know, I mean, we losing by 50 or we winning, you know what I mean? I think everybody stayed even keel for the most part throughout the whole season. So I credit Chauncey for keeping us and the whole coaching staff for keeping us together like that.
And the games that you were out there this year, how far do you think you progressed at that point guard spot, and kind of what do you see as kind of the benchmarks for you going forward?
I think, you know, for sure, I think I've for sure gotten better this year. You know, like I said, just seeing different defense coverage, whether it's normal blitz or they there, you know, just at the touch, or they doing a box and one, you know what I mean? So I think seeing those things in every day and watching film on it, you know, with my trainer or with the coaches, and, you know, that has helped me out a lot. And I think, for the most part, I think I've came into the season each and every year better at something. I've improved each and every year of my career. So I plan on continuing to try to improve on the things I need to improve at, whether it's, you know, continuing to improve playmaking, continuing to improve off the ball, playing off the ball as well. So giving myself a chance to be harder to guard.
What do you think is kind of different about the Blazers in 2024 compared to 2021 before Chauncey got here? You know, what impacts do you think you've seen Chauncey specifically make with this team and this organization?
For the most part, it's basically kind of a real, like, a toughness. You know, obviously, as a player, Chauncey was considered, you know, a pretty, like, toughness was his thing. And so I think for the most part, everybody that comes in here understands that Chauncey doesn't play about not being tough. And so I think that's one of the things he set the tone for. Each player he's coming here, he's impacted him. You know what I mean? Whether it was off the court, on the court, you know, he's been able to, you know, reach different players no matter how much time they were on the team or how much time they were injured. Like I said, that's one of the things I respect about him most, is that he's able to still pivot and do what he has to do for the betterment of the team. And so I think he's made everybody buy in each and every year to what we're trying to do, whether it was successful or not, whether we had a good team or not, or winning or not. I think we've been able to buy into what he's preaching, and I think it's still to this day. I think everybody believes in him. All the players believe in him. We understand the situation, and you know what I mean? His desire to win is just as much as ours, so that's what I would say about Chauncey.
So there you go, Anthony Simons at Exit Interviews. Some very interesting perspectives there from Ant. I felt like you can really tell he's coming into his own, both as a player and as a person. I thought he had a lot of very interesting takes throughout the course of that interview, and I think maybe more than anything, I was just struck by how much different Ant is now than he was even a few seasons ago, both in the way that he plays and the way he presents himself. Now a guy who we just got to know this year, let's go ahead and hear from DeAndre Ayton discuss his first season with the Portland Trailblazers, being a team that's trying to transition from developing players to winning games, his late season performance, moving into more of a leadership role as well, his chemistry with Portland's guards, and being on a team with different expectations than he was last season. DeAndre Ayton, let's go ahead and hear what he had to say after his first season at Exit Interviews.
Overall, how would you say your first season here went?
My first season here went amazing. It was a great learning experience. I truly got to see what type of player I am, you know, just going through adversity and having a new start. You know, it was filled with a lot of excitement, a lot of adventure, a lot of obstacles, a lot of ups and downs. And I learned about a lot of who I am. You know, I'm truly a leader, and, you know, I'm a survivor as well. When, you know, when it comes to a lot of trials and tribulations, you know, I still push through. This season, I learned how to play with, you know, young guys, and, you know, learn how to be a vet, a true vet, learn how to be transparent when it comes to their play, and, you know, just be a true example on how to approach the game, and, you know, just to keep my professionalism to a par where they can learn from, and, you know, knowing personnel with these young guys, and, you know who to yell with, who to wrap your hand around sometimes, and in the moments of battles, and, you know, just dialing in with my coaching staff, and, you know, having them trust in me and believe in me. So it was a smooth season. I'm happy I finished all strong.
What was it like for you going from, you know, being, you know, a younger guy in the league, and then, you know, you're on a team with a bunch of veterans in Phoenix, and then you get here and you're one of the veterans and it's all you.
Yeah, you know, the tables turned quickly. You know, I'm just happy that, you know, the last team I was with, you know, being around great players and guys who's been in the league, you know, I didn't take any of that for granted. So I brought some of that with me, you know, and I made it easier, you know, dealing with younger guys and, you know, having the patience and, you know, just understanding that the program is bigger than you. And, you know, I'm just a little piece of the puzzle when it comes to, you know, just dialing in with these younger dudes and, you know, growing with them. And I have fun doing it too. And, you know, just earning their respect. You know, you can call them rooks all you want and young guys, but them dudes truly are students of the game. And, you know, they're competitors as well. And, you know, they respect hard work as well. You know, they know bull crap when they see you too. So, you know, you just have to, you know, come in and just, you know, just walk in and just be on the same mission as they are, you know, and, you know, the chemistry grows from there.
This season was a lot about development, player, young players, chemistry, things like that. Do you hope that next season is more about trying to win?
Ain't no hope. That's the plan. The hope was here, you know, just hoping we, you know, learn basketball, hoping we stay out of injuries, you know, things like that. You know, this was the hope year. Next year won't be any hope. It would just be us knowing where we're planning on going, where our hard work is going to go, and us, you know, winning games leading to the playoffs. And I feel like we have the pieces here, you know, despite the injuries and all the ups and downs that we had this year. You know, we truly are an exciting team to watch, and, you know, we've been competing with teams shorthandedly, and, you know, Coach Billups has set the standards on how we must play, regardless of who's out there or not. And that's just PDX basketball.
After going through an adjustment period this season like you have, are you looking forward to starting next season like you ended this season to help the winning process?
Yeah. What I showed you guys the second half of the season is just what I've been trying to show my whole career. I've been dealing with a lot of, you know, little injuries, little weird things about my body and things off the court. But, you know, settling in and dialing in and finally getting my feet under me, you know, you truly see what type of player I am and the type of consistent player I am as well and the leadership I bring to this team. And, you know, this is just truly who I am. And you know, I won't short myself, you know, the numbers you see each game, night out, you know, that's something I'll be keeping myself as a standard, you know, and it won't be a surprise.
Did you learn a lot about yourself late in the season when you were out there with a bunch of young kids and sort of being that rock for them?
I really wasn't really worried about who was out there with me. Them dudes is my teammates, and, you know, going through practice and, you know, learning the game like them as well as, you know, I didn't feel no way. I just know we had to learn how to play basketball together and still try to win the game at the same time. Was it easy? No. But it was fun. and it was difficult and very challenging, but at the same time, we were growing trust for each other and understanding, you know, certain plays and certain things that could deflate us. You know, we stuck together, and it was really a together thing, you know, just young guys understanding and having that feeling like, yo, this is a team. And, you know, that's a huge feeling when you realize your brother have your back that you laugh with on the bus with and things like that, but he really got you on the court when the lights and cameras are in front of you. So, you know, it's really a great feeling just to be out there with them and, you know, watch them grow and just, you know, see them get their feet wet and, you know, just come out and blossom to their own player.
Dean, did you feel like you had enough opportunity with all the injuries to build a relationship with Ant, with Scoot, with Shay, to kind of project where you guys can be going forward?
Hey, most definitely. I feel like I've done enough to where, you know, I've communicated off the court with my guards and, you know, just knowing what they want, the type of player they are, the type of person they are. And, you know, it's made it very easy on the court, you know, just dialing in with them and competing with them, just knowing how defensive coverage is, you know, how I have to set screens and how they, you know, how would they want me to roll, whether they want me to pop and things like that. You know, it's, I have through so many guards on this team, but, you know, such great talents, you know, it's really, you know, it's really fun to understand that who you have to screen for and how you screen for them. You know, it's a fun thing to know, and it's a great chemistry to have. And, you know, I think I got in enough games with everybody to really know their personnel. You know, I watch film on my guys all the time, and I'm sure they watch film on me, but, you know, I pretty much know how all of them play, and, you know, it's pretty easy and fun out there. It's just, you know, who has the ball, you know, how you want to guard it.
For you coming from Phoenix, where, you know, the expectation is championship, 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 and then coming here and having those expectations be different and just going through a season like that?
To be honest, it wasn't always championship, championship, championship and with the Suns, you know. Probably had that feeling for 2 years straight. You know, here is still the same thing. You know, we're still trying to win games. You know, we're still trying to win. We're still trying to win in some way, learning basketball, having these dudes, you know, understand the game. You know, it's still a win for us in a way. And, you know, it's still the same standards. You know, you still have to get out there and play and, you know, play as hard as you can. You treat every game like it's your last. And, you know, the standards we have here, it feels like a championship, you know. Winning games will be our championship, and, you know, trying to make it to the playoffs and making that our next goal is our championship. So we have a long ways to go, but, you know, those will be our championships now until we fulfill those team accolades.
So there you go. DeAndre Ayton giving some of his thoughts about his first season in Portland. Got off to a bit of a slow start, particularly once the calendar turned 2024. I think he really got a sense of who DeAndre Ayton is as a Portland Trailblazer, and a lot of things to really look forward to there going into next season. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Briefcase. We'll be back later on this week with more exit interviews, more mock drafts, more NBA playoff talk, and maybe a few other things that might pop up as well as the week goes on. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I am Casey Holdall. You've been listening to The Briefcase. Talk to you later. Go Blazers.